Okay. So there was a Catholic priest, a Methodist minister, and a Jewish rabbi. Okay. You're right. That would be a trip. And they had all just finished performing a joint worship service. And they were standing around deciding what to do with the offering that they had collected at this service. They were trying to figure out how much they would give over to the ministries in the community and how much they would keep for themselves, you know, for their expenses. So the rabbi, he suggested, well, that they draw a circle in the ground, throw the money up in the air. Whatever lands inside the circle goes to God. Whatever lands outside the circle, they keep for their own expenses. The priest suggested that whatever lands outside the circle goes to God, and whatever lands inside the circle, they keep for their own expenses. The Methodist minister says, forget the circle. Let's just throw the money up in the air. Whatever God wants, he'll keep. And whatever lands on the ground, we'll keep. Ah, yes. Well, what's going on in our scripture today? Well, again, we find Jesus under attack by a group of folks who want to try to ruin his credibility with the common people that he's trying to preach to and minister to. And it should be no surprise that the leader of this group against Jesus is again the Pharisees. Yes, the good old Pharisees. They always seem to come up on the scene when we least expect them. And so they're there, and they're unhappy with things. They're unhappy with Jesus. They're unhappy with Rome because Rome has taken over the country and has levied a tax against all the Jewish folks. So they're unhappy with that. So they decide, hey, we're going to get Jesus caught up in this debate and try to trip him on his words. So they employed the help of the Herodians. Now that's an interesting point there, because the Herodians, you see, they're on the other side of the fence from the Pharisees as far as the tax. They agree with the tax that the Romans are levying against the Jews. But on the other side of the coin, they like the Pharisees, really don't have a whole lot of use for Jesus, and figure he's just stirring the pot and keeping things going. So they agree to join with him and to gang up on Jesus in front of the group of people he's speaking with and put him to the test. Now, you know, we don't know much about the Herodians, and this may be their style. But the Pharisees, we've seen them and continue to see them throughout the Gospels and the New Testament trying to come up against Christ and stumble him. And every time, they're the ones that look like fools. Now, you know, this just troubles me, because the Pharisees are supposed to be the religious leaders, which means they're supposed to have a little bit of formal education and training, and yet they just don't seem to get it that every time they try to come up against Jesus, they lose. They kind of seem like slow learners to me, but that's for another sermon maybe. So we have these two folks. They go up to Jesus and they say, hey, tell us something. You're smart. Should we be paying the taxes to Caesar or not? Well, Jesus is smart, and he sees right through what they're trying to do. You know, he says, well, I know what these guys are trying. So he looks at him, he says, well, I'll tell you what, give me this coin. Let me see one of these coins that you use to pay the tax to Caesar with. And so they produce a coin. And let me point out something there. That's the first step. That's the first thing he did to make them look like a fool. Because you know who gave him the coin? It wasn't the Herodians. It wasn't somebody in the general population. It was one of the Pharisees. One of the Pharisees who is against the taxes was the one that had a coin in his pocket that's used to pay the taxes. Now go figure that. So they give him the coin, and he asks them who's on here, and they say, well, that's Caesar, and he says, okay, fine. He says, well, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Well, that seems simple enough, except that kind of leaves us with a question today, doesn't it? It leaves us with, well, how much are we supposed to give of our worth to the Caesars of our day, to our government? Well, that's kind of easy, because They are such wonderful people. They send us computer programs and forms and worksheets every year, don't they? To show us how much, what percentage we're supposed to give to the Caesars of our day. Government's so helpful that way. So we got that covered, but now how much do we give of our hard-earned stuff, our worth, to God? How much of what we have belongs to God? That's the question. Well, some people might say, whatever feels right. You know, if today it feels like a dollar, then a dollar of what we have belongs to God. Other folks might say, 10%. 10% of what you have belongs to God. Okay. But the truth is, everything we have belongs to God. In other words, nothing that we own or have, including our bodies, our lives, our clothes, nothing we have belongs to us. It all belongs to God. Now, I know some of you might be saying, now, wait a minute, preacher. I work this job every week. I slave and do what the boss man asks me, and I'm the one that earns that paycheck. God's not doing that work. He's not pushing those papers around. He's not moving that conveyor line along. He's not doing this work. I am. So how is it that it's all His? Well, that's a good point. And my question to you would be, who gave you the ability to do that job in the first place? And furthermore, who blesses us with the jobs that we have? It's God. God gives us the mental and physical capacity and ability to do the jobs that we perform. If He didn't, we wouldn't be able to get up and go to work in the morning. We wouldn't know how. We wouldn't have the smarts to do it. Those smarts didn't come out of the air. God gave them to us. Secondly, it's God who blessed us with the job in the first place. Sure, we might have been the one that penciled in the application. We may not have put God down as a reference. I don't know that I would do that. But it's God that made it all come together. It's God that blesses us here in this country to be able to work and to earn such a wonderful living. My wife went to Brazil not too long ago. You all know that. And at the risk of sounding sexist here, she was like a lot of women. She enjoys shopping. And she had a really good time over in Brazil because the dollar bill that we see as the lowest point on the totem pole of our money here is worth like three of their dollars, or cleites, or whatever they call them, over there. So she was getting 3-1. This meant she had a heavier suitcase to bring home. So we're really blessed. That's the point I'm trying to make here. So now you say, okay, all right, preacher, I'm buying it. Everything we have belongs to God. If that's the case, why do we have to give anything to the government? We should give it all to God. Well, that's a fair question. Why would Jesus be promoting the government? Why would He be supporting that and saying we need to pay the taxes? Well, that's because God created the governments to help keep peace and to keep order between His people. You see, He realized that we need structure. You know, if we're just left to our own devices to go wild, that's what we'll do, is go wild. We need order. We need structure. We need people to help us to remember the laws, to keep us doing the right thing. And so God created the governments for that purpose. And because He created it, and because He expects us to support it. Now keep in mind though, because I know you all feel like me, that sometimes we're paying and we're paying and we're paying the government and we're not sure what we're getting in return. Well, even though the government likes to talk about separation of church and state, whether they realize or not that God actually created the government in the first place, they are answerable to God for how they spend the tax money that they get. If they don't spend it wisely and correctly, they will have to answer to God. Not to mention the voters. Maybe God uses the voters to move things the way he wants. So everything we have is our gifts from God. Everything he has given us are gifts for us to use to better his kingdom, to glorify him. So how do we do that? Do we sell everything we have, sell our homes, our boats, our trucks, our campers, our houses, and give all the money to the church? Well, that's one approach. But I'm afraid if we did that, the parsons would get awfully crowded. I believe that God has blessed us with the material things that we have so that we can use them as tools to reach out into this crazy world and to further his kingdom, to bless him, to glorify God, and to reach out to people, to share the blessings that we have with them, to help them, to minister to them, to fulfill what it is we're put here to do, and that is to glorify God. That's why he's given us the things that we have. To take care of what God has called us to do. And in other words, before we go out and use the resources that God's blessed us with to do something frivolous, we need to think about, okay, how can I use this for God? Or is God calling me to use this for something? You know, we need to be thinking about that. We need to be careful about hoarding. We're real good about, you know, it's mine. These are all my toys. These are my things, you know. My brothers and sister and I, when we were children, got that way a little bit about our toys. Especially my brother and I. See, my sister was an only girl, so we didn't want to play with her Barbies, so she was in pretty good shape. But my brother and I, we both had Tonka trucks, you know. And instead of sharing, a lot of times it was those were his and these were mine. And, you know, if he went to use mine, I got mad. That's fine! We need to be careful about that. Now some of you might be thinking, well, what can I do with what God's given me? You know, I got a house, yeah, sure, but what can I do with that? Or I got a car, yeah, sure, what can I do with that? You know, how can I use that to glorify God or to reach out to somebody? Well, that's another good question. And let me say this, let me give you some examples. I've heard about someone taking an extra car that they had, that they were thinking about selling, you know, wasn't worth much to them, and they thought, well, we'll sell it, get a few bucks and go somewhere. But instead, they heard about somebody that was in dire need of a car so they could get to and from work. And so they took that car and they gave it to him. He said, well, I don't have an extra car. Well, that's okay. I've heard about people that have opened their homes up, invited people to dinner on a regular basis who they knew didn't have very much. Or maybe due to physical conditions or limitations, they weren't able to prepare good and wholesome meals for themselves. And so they invited these people into their home on a regular basis to have a meal and kind of be a part of the family so they wouldn't be lonely. I've heard of people offer rides to church and to grocery store and to doctor's appointments. They figure, well, I got a car and I got some time. I'll give you a ride to the store or to church. And I could go on and on, but those are examples of how we can use what God has given us to glorify his kingdom and to reach out to the rest of his people and minister to them. But the point is that we are all very blessed by what God has given us. And we receive a second blessing when we use it to glorify him. That's the great part. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. When we step outside ourselves and we use what God has blessed us with to help somebody else, to reach out to somebody else, to minister to somebody else, God says, great! And I'm going to bless you back. You see, because we can never outgive God. We can never outgive God. God is always willing and ready to bless us and to continue blessing us as long as we are doing what he calls us to do. So how much do we give Caesar? Well, we give him what is his because God calls us not only to be good citizens of this kingdom, but also good citizens of the world we're living in now. And how much do we give God? Everything. So that he can use it to further his kingdom. Give God everything. I guess that's the bottom line, is when we get ready to say, it's mine, it's all mine, we need to pause and remember it's not really ours. It's all been given to us by God. He's entrusted everything that we have, he's entrusted it to us to use it correctly and wisely. And to use it first and foremost to glorify him. And for the work of the kingdom. I can't imagine a bigger responsibility than that. Can you? When you think of we have all that we've been blessed with over our lives, it gets a little scary maybe when we think back, well, have I really used it wisely? Have I really used my resources wisely for what God wants me to use them for? That's what he's calling us to do. And it doesn't matter where we are, whether we're David's age and only have a few dimes, or we're full-grown adults with jobs and lots of bills and lots of stuff. God's calling us to take stock in what we have and thank him for what we have. And then to go out and use that to, for the good of the kingdom. Will you pray with me?